Thank you so much for tuning into Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated National Communication System for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we've provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. My name is Christopher, and I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at NRS, and I hope you'll learn as much as I do on this journey to elevate the voices of young people and youth-facing organizations as they share their stories and highlight the complexities and intersections witnessed by 4.2 million young people facing homelessness each year. This episode of the Let's Talk podcast is brought to you by Greyhound, the official partner of the National Runaway Safe Line's Home Free program. Established in 1995 in partnership with Greyhound, this program helps runaway, homeless, and exploited youth return home safely or get to a stable alternative living arrangement through a free bus ticket. In addition, Home Free works in collaboration with youth, parents and guardians, law enforcement, anti-trafficking organizations, social service and healthcare providers, and others to ensure youth who are victims of labor and sex trafficking benefit from reuniting with caring adults or getting to an alternative living arrangement. Learn more about this partnership by visiting 1-800-RUNAWAY.org/homefree. Okay, today we have some New Orleans representation in the house, or at least in the virtual podcasting studio. I am so excited to welcome Covenant House New Orleans to Let's Talk. Why don't we start right off with some introductions?
I am Damien Rush, youth advocate.
I am Renisha Robertson, Chief Executive Officer of Covenant House New Orleans and Chief Dreamer.
Ooh, I love that. Chief Dreamer. Okay. Renisha, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you start us off by giving us a little bit of background about yourself and Covenant House?
Yeah. So Covenant House New Orleans is a part of a federation of organizations supporting individuals, young people ages 16 to 22 who are experiencing housing insecurities, may be unhoused or insecurely housed or unsheltered. We provide at the core of our services residential support, so emergency shelter, transitional housing, and other permanent supportive housing in the community. We reach over 700 youth or close to 700 youth annually, providing our core programs and a number of different wraparound supportive services for youth who are 16 to 22. And we also provide services for individuals who have experienced some form of human trafficking, and primarily focused on youth, but in emergency situations, we will serve anyone who has experienced human trafficking.
I have a quick question. I think there are some people who are listening who may not understand the term wraparound services. Can you give just a quick breakdown of what a wraparound service is?
Absolutely. So at the core, as I mentioned, we provide housing support. We know that there are a lot of different reasons someone might come to Covenant House for housing services that go beyond just needing a safe place to stay. We provide a number of different resources to support them while they're here with us, and even once they move on to hopefully more stable housing. So that includes everything from case management. We support around education and different training opportunities, support with finding a job and employment opportunities. We address mental health and wellness, physical health, and anything you can think of, really. So addressing all of the challenges, all of the barriers that one might face as they're experiencing some form of housing insecurity.
And just really quickly, will you tell me how long you've been with Covenant House NOLA and how you came to the organization?
Absolutely. So I've been at Covenant House New Orleans for the last 3 years. I am a New Orleans native and have been working around supporting communities in the New Orleans area for close to about 25 years, and especially supporting an adolescent population, which is kind of where I have done the majority of my work, providing prevention services, supporting young families and different communities of color, LGBTQ plus youth, and just young people as they are developing and growing, and hopefully providing all of the supports to help them thrive as young adults.
Amazing. And Damien, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've lived at Covenant House for a while, about 10 months now. I came here from Illinois, but honestly, I've lived all over. So I was at my mother's before this. Family life wasn't exactly the greatest, nearing its end, which was only 6 months time span. I have a habit of, I guess, not caring about stuff. So my mother basically gave me a choice of where I would go. I chose where I wanted to go by bus and came here to New Orleans because I had been here before.
Did you know anyone in New Orleans when you got here?
Covenant House, actually. I had been here once before, so it's familiar, I suppose.
How did you find out about Covenant House the first time?
That is a long story, considering I walked from Biloxi, Mississippi to New Orleans.
That is a long walk.
Took about 14 hours, maybe. I swear my shins were bending. It was not fun. But I slept my first night in New Orleans, first time I was here on... Technically, I didn't sleep. I had one open. I was on Bourbon Street. And that next day, it was going to rain, and I went to an RTA person and was like, hey, do y'all know anywhere that has like a homeless shelter or something? And the person pointed me here, and that's where I came, and they're good people. Always watch out for others. It's one of the things that makes Covenant House great. So
you use a term I'm not familiar with. Can you tell me what an RTA person is?
It's like local transport, buses, streetcars, stuff like that.
Gotcha. How old were you when you came to New Orleans?
So the first time I was 19. Now I'm 20, about to turn 21.
So you've been at Covenant House for 10 months. Can you give me kind of a general overview of like what the experience has been like, or like the things that are happening there that make you feel comfortable enough to stay there?
It's a varying experience, honestly. I sometimes joke around saying it's like reliving my high school years. People come and go, it's expected. But when you're here, they do what they can to help. In general, it's really up to you whether you want to get the help or not. But if you accept the help, they're great with what they do. Sometimes it can take a while just because they're busy. It can get packed, but it's a good place.
Do you feel like you've made like friends with other people who are using the like programs and services at Covenant House?
Yeah, the roommates, generally we get along. I've had some people who just don't like me and stay away, but what do I care? I normally stay to myself anyway.
I feel that.
The thing about Covenant House, barriers are there only when it comes to language and stuff, and they can get that kind of thing taken care of. So
I have a question for you, Rainisha, if you don't mind. What are some of the, like, you're a New Orleans native, so can you tell me if there's anything that you identify as unique to the New Orleans experience for a young person who is struggling or looking for support?
Well, I think, you know, as you said, New Orleans, there definitely has to be some unique qualities, and there's usually a number of draws to this location. That's what we hear within the Federation of Covenant House sites. New Orleans is a very unique place, a very rich culture. We are actually even proximity geographically to the very famous French Quarter, which can be a scary place for our young people or anyone, but also is rich in the culture of New Orleans. I think for me, culture has always been important to infuse or integrate into the services that we provide here, because not only do our young people need just the direct care, they also need spaces, safe places where they can receive love, support, feel, you know, respected. Mm. We always say we deliver our services with unconditional love, absolute respect, and relentless support. That is at the core of what we do and what we strive for. That's not unique, I think, to Covenant House as a federation, but certainly I think here in New Orleans, we live and breathe that. And that's very heavily embedded in the culture, the rich culture of New Orleans. So that's, I think, pretty unique.
Would you say that the culture in New Orleans is pretty accepting of young people who identify as queer or LGBTQIA2S+ on the spectrum?
Yeah, I think that's always been a draw for New Orleans, even in a very, you know, we're considered part of the Bible Belt. We're considered, you know, part of the South, and sometimes considered very conservative in views. Mm. However, New Orleans has always been recognized as a place that is accepting and inclusive and supportive and attracts all individuals from many different backgrounds, many different lived experiences, in all of the strengths and beauty that we all present with. And so I think that that's definitely unique to the culture of New Orleans. It's celebrated, and it should be celebrated. We all should absolutely be celebrated. So that, you know, is also very important here at Covenant House, that all of our young people feel affirmed, that they feel accepted, that they feel welcomed, that they feel loved and supported.
Do you have any data about the number of young people who identify as queer that use the services and programs at Covenant House NOLA, even if it's anecdotal data?
In our last fiscal year, I think about a third of our youth, of the close to 700 youth that were in our core programs and services, 26%, so almost a third of our youth identified as LGBTQ+.
That's huge. That is really sick. I mean, I hear closer to 10%, and even us, like, we can identify that 10% of the young people who are willing to identify their like gender identity or anything like sexual orientation, it's closer to about 10%. Wow, that's like huge. That's actually like really impressive. Would you say that there's a difference in the way that the services are provided, or that is there a different approach when working with a young person who identifies as queer?
Well, I think all of our young people are treated with respect, with love. This is a very inclusive environment. We believe in equity, not necessarily all about equality, right? Because everyone comes as an individual with unique needs. But we also understand that certain groups or subpopulations of the general community of Covenant House may have similar and unique challenges, needs, and there might be trends within communities, and we want to be sensitive to that. So we try to create programs and activities, events that speak to not only the unique needs or barriers of communities, but also that affirm individuals' identity. That's important. So we have events that are inclusive and for everyone, for the entire community, and at the same time might really celebrate the beauty and unique qualities of our LGBTQ plus youth.
Damian, do you feel comfortable at all sharing? Actually, let me back up a little. I forgot a question earlier. Is have you ever used any supportive services outside of Coming In House, whether they were like helpful or not? But almost especially if like you like reached out to someone and you didn't feel like you got the support you needed.
I've been in therapy about 3/4 of my life. It's just, it always comes and goes.
Fair. So really, then it doesn't really have like a huge impact on like your needs or anything like that. It's just kind of a thing that is.
Yeah, it's just there. Best way to describe it.
Do you have any other like people outside of Covenant House or even within Covenant House that you consider to be like your chosen family?
I honestly don't really talk to many people, so. The most I really talk is inside Covenant House, and I normally stay to myself. I have a few people I talk to a lot. My roommate being one of those, we hang out a lot. My cousin, I call her a lot.
With that, do you feel like Covenant House has helped you be more open and receptive to communicating better with those two people?
I didn't really start calling my cousin as much as I have been these past few days. Still just the past few days. And my roommate, it's just he and I get along. I see him like a little brother, I guess. But yet he's older than me by a year. So, well, let me put it in the sense that he's a little older brother.
My sister's 7 years older than me, and I call her my little sister, mostly because she's also a foot shorter than me.
Yeah, it's part of what it is. But I guess it's the energy about him, too. Can be very childish, I suppose, but can't we all sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like especially... when you have experiences that, you know, some people see as traumatic or things that are like big life events, like being asked to leave your home is a huge traumatic event for anyone under the age of like even 25, I would say. So like that has a big impact on that. Rainisha, would you say that for young people who are seeking services and support from Covenant House NOLA or from their families, do you find a lot of like families of these young people have any desire to be involved in like their growth or healing or whatever it is that they're experiencing at Covenant House?
Yeah, I think that's a goal to support not only the young person, but to support the family, the community, the extended family that come with our young people, because we hope that their stay here is most often brief, right? Where they can move on and continue to stabilize, continue on their healing journey and be productive and grow and thrive and find joy in their lives. That's the goal. So we want to make sure that once they leave here, they have a community, a family to go back to that has been a part of the healing process. And so we often, not initially, but at some point, we hope that we can work towards reuniting families by working with the individual, like working with the youth through therapy and emotional support services, wellness services, and that we can work with families if they're willing. And even when it's not initially something that is on the table, or sometimes may not be the best, you know, way to start the healing journey, there's a lot of work to do. We hope that eventually we can get to a point where we can involve family members, extended family, friends, and new community members that may become a part of a chosen family for our young people once they enter into different communities. So that's definitely part of the goal setting when our young people work with their case managers to develop their individual success plans. And oftentimes for our LGBTQ plus youth, they have specific case managers that really understand some of the unique challenges or circumstances, lived experiences that they've had. And so they work very closely with that case manager one-on-one to make sure that all of those issues and needs are being addressed.
I love that. Yeah, it kind of brings me back to what you were mentioning earlier about the wraparound services and why it's so important. Can you just give a brief explanation of why it's so important to not only support people through the process, but to make yourselves available and supportive afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think even just kind of the theme we're talking about, chosen family, we feel like we're a part of our young people's chosen family. They choose to be here, right? They, from the minute they walk through the door, or the gates in our courtyard, they've literally chosen to be here, and we welcome them. So we're a part of their chosen family, and we know that, you know, that means we wear a lot of hats. And we also have an opportunity to present to them all of the different services that will help them move them further along. So whatever that is, we try to be that and support them, sometimes as a stopgap, sometimes as, you know, a platform, sometimes as a springboard, whatever it is. You know, we try to meet our young people where they are and just be there for them.
So I know you mentioned before, like, obviously the goal, like, in a perfect world, it'd be kind of like someone comes and uses the services as a very, like, short stay, and then there's, like, lots of healing done. But realistically, that's obviously not going to be everyone's case. Maybe it's better if I ask you this question, Damien. Like, what do you see being, like, kind of like your goals with Covenant House? Do you, like, expect that you'll spend a longer period of time with there? Is there anything in particular that you're working on? Like, I know you mentioned earlier, like, you are kind of perceived as, like, not caring as much, but do you feel that way about yourself?
I suppose it's more, I have a tendency to be rather apathetic, but I've been working on getting my information to get a job for a while now. Birth certificate, ID, social security card, that kind of thing.
And you guys at Covenant House have, like, services to help people obtain those documents, even if they are underage, I'm guessing?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just going to take the liberty to shine a little light on Damien, because I think you know, he's done a lot in 10 months that he's been here. And I think his journey is like a lot of young people's journey. Even when, you know, they're starting off at different places, there are lots of opportunities to build on what already exists. You know, there are a lot of strengths that they come here with. And so we just find ways to pull that out. And it looks different for everybody. Everybody has different personalities. Everybody has different strengths, different talents. I've seen over the last 10 months growth, a lot of growth, even in the ability to just at a young age be expressive about, you know, what you're learning about yourself and how that's going to help you on your journey. I don't think I could have done that at 19. I know I couldn't have done it at 19, 20. So that always is very impressive to me, the strength and the persistence that our young people come here with, the determination to set goals, even when we may, you know, miss the mark sometimes, fall a little short, just the ability to regroup, to learn, and to grow. That's, you know, that's really the human experiment. That's the human journey. You know, we're all doing that. But to be able to do that as young people that have experienced a lot of challenges is always very impressive to me and deserves a lot of celebration. So just take the liberty to say that. I think he's not sharing all the really great things that he's done so far, but is truly remarkable.
I mean, in the topic of relationship, I'd say there are barriers, but that stems from childhood trauma. So I wouldn't say that no one else got it. And I know there's plenty of other people that have stuff like that. It's more of a, you end up talking to them and it's just, sometimes you don't even mean to. It's, they can be stubborn. And in all honesty, I'd say that's one of the good things about it, because they know when you're hurting, I can say. They're very good at noticing when someone's depressed or something like that, and they are very good at getting someone to talk.
Do you feel like you feel more comfortable opening up to the like staff and the like people that you are closest with at Covenant House?
It depends on how far down the down in the hole of depression I am. It also depends on how much sleep I've gotten. But I would have to say their best method of getting you to talk when you're depressed or something, they're just stubborn about having you talk about it. I'll put it that way. You end up talking in it about it and you don't even realize it because you just get tired of it. It's entertaining, but I'd say it's a good method.
Do you have any other like people who identify as queer in your life?
Actually, yes. My roommate, the one I told you about, a good friend of ours, that's really about it.
How has their like relationship with you played into your own like growth or understanding of what it is that you really like want out of life, or really like how to set goals? Or do you feel like you've gotten there yet even?
I'm not sure. I mean, I tend to go through life moment by moment. I'm not one to plan ahead, which generally causes problems down the line, I'll admit it. Because whenever I try to make plans, it either ends up failing or just doesn't work. To be honest, I'm not sure what I want in life. It's one of those things I still haven't reached that point yet.
Do you feel like that's a bad thing?
No.
Okay, good. I was going to say, that's not a bad thing.
I understand that. Hell, I could probably be 30 and still not know what I want out of life.
I'm 33. I decided this morning that what I wanted out of life is completely different than what it was yesterday. And that's just kind of how it is sometimes. There's like no barometer or no measure for like successfully planning out. I'm also like not a planner.
I believe in fate, but I also believe your choices make your own fate. So I think that you discover what you want in life when life decides it's ready to tell you what it wants.
Is there anything in particular that you do that like really brings you lots of joy? Like something you can do immediately and you know you're going to feel better?
Listen to music, be on my phone watching YouTube.
What kind of music are you into?
Okay, normally I listen to things like metal and alternative, corpse, I guess. Although that counts more as noise rap, I suppose. I'm just gonna go ahead and say I listen to screamo sometimes. Lorna Shore does it. Some dark classical sometimes. Chopin.
Have you ever, do you sing yourself? Can you sing? Do you play any instruments?
No, I can't sing.
Can't or don't?
Can't or don't. It depends on the music. But I have to be playing it like right next to me to be able to match it even remotely.
So no one's gonna like catch you belting out at the Covenant House.
I don't. I'm autistic, ADHD. Yeah, no. I had it bad enough. I literally qualified for an IEP in kindergarten.
What does that stand for?
Individualized education plan. Basically, I was like that program that thing where you can be in school till you're 21 legally.
Do you feel like that was helpful for you?
Yes.
That's interesting because that, I wonder if that, like, because essentially, based on what Renisha was telling me earlier, that's kind of the core of what Covenant House does, is that there's not a one-size-fits-all solution for everyone and everyone gets their own plan.
You know, it's different for everybody. Yeah. It's different for everybody. There is no two people that will come in and they will have the same name.
Is there, like, for people who think like you and, like, move through the world the way that you do, which is more people than you probably know, what advice do you have for them if they're like struggling or if they haven't found the right place to find, like, to get support, the support that they need?
I'd probably end up talking to my younger self as if I were talking to a kid that I would have in the future by chance. Life's gonna throw a lot of curveballs. You've just got to learn to tap into flow state and just dodge them, or either accept it and get hit in the face and then throw that ball right back.
What does throwing the ball back look like to you?
Like life giving me lemons, me licking lemonade and pouring that lemonade into life size.
Nice. I like that perspective. I mean, because most people, that question tends to be a really difficult question for people to answer. It's like, I think earlier I asked you, like, what do you want out of life? But that's kind of what I was getting at. It's like, what is really the secret to, like, getting yourself out of a funk, like getting yourself out of a depression even? It sounds like you're really good at understanding your own, like, depressive state and figuring out a way to climb out of that, or like at least allowing other people to help you out of that. Do you feel like that's always been the case, or do you feel like that's something you've learned more recently?
When I'm in a depressive state, honestly, what I do is I just accept the fact I'm in a depressive state, stay in that depressive state, ride it out, and then get some caffeine in me about 2 or 3 days later and I'm fine. But then again, that all depends on how bad the depression is. There are times where I'll go 2-3 nights, no sleep. Sleep the day.
Yeah. Talking about your cousin and your roommate again, is there anything that they do really well that helps you process or helps de-stress or anxiety, or is it as simple as just being like a listening ear or being a distraction even?
My roommate is a distraction, I'll say that.
Is that helpful?
But sometimes, rarely. He caused me a lot of stress. That's why I look at him like a little older brother.
But is that stress, do you feel like that's better than...
It's entertainment
stress. There you go. Okay. That's what I'm looking for. I like that.
Yeah. It's the stress of, why are you like this?
What is your... The last question I'll ask is, what is your... Like, if you could show any type of appreciation or to them, like, what would you say to them?
Thanks. I'm not really that great at showing appreciation. I show it my own way, I guess. So I never really pay attention to how I show it. It's shown when it's shown in the way that it's shown. It's the best way I can describe it.
Nice. I mean, you said thanks, which is more than most people do. You'd be surprised. I have a couple of questions for you, Renisha, if you don't mind. What are some of the things that, as a community, especially in New Orleans, a place that it seems like a lot more celebratory of some of the things that are feel prohibitive or restrictive in other areas. What are some things that can be done in your community to support, especially like queer youth that are facing homelessness or any of the intersections? Because you brought up something important earlier, which is that like a lot of these things are just kind of intersections and there's a much bigger problem at hand. So again, sorry, what can the community do to better support, especially queer youth, whether that queerness is a barrier or not for them to like show support in your area?
Yeah, I think affirmation is important. And I think New Orleans does a pretty good job of affirming our LGBTQ plus community through celebration. We are the town of festivals should be really the name of New Orleans. And this is prime festival season because of the nice weather before it gets too hot. And we do, I think, a pretty good job as a community of affirming just the LGBTQ plus culture of freedom of expression and inclusivity, and just affirming that is so important, especially for young people who are still learning and coming into their individual identity, and the freedom to, you know, be in a space of learning, discovery, and acceptance. And so I think creating those spaces for young people to do that is so important for all of our young people, and especially for our LGBTQ plus youth. And so I think as a community, just the willingness to embrace and affirm all of our young people, and especially our LGBTQ plus youth, regardless of what our individual ideology or philosophies or, you know, individual values or any of that, just being there to embrace and affirm our young people is one of the best things that we can do. I think also making sure that we offer resources in many different forms for young people to have access to. For our LGBTQ plus youth, affirming spaces is really important because they're often, as you mentioned earlier, you know, rejected or not accepted in spaces that should be familiar and should be safe. And so the need to create those community spaces are critically important so that as they are, you know, I think really embracing their own identity, that they can do it in an environment that feels safe, that is safe, and affirming and accepting. So that's also, I think, really important. And just again, resources. Making sure that the community has resources available to our LGBTQ plus youth in spaces, in support, in resources, addressing the needs, as you mentioned, this is very intersectional. So for our young people who are not accepted because of their identity, then making sure that intersects with all of the resources that might be needed. So housing, mental health and wellness, education, increased awareness, all of those things are really important. So making sure that through all of our various systems that these young people interface with, that there are intentional acts of service to support these young people and whatever their needs.
Do you have any specific examples? And it could be from your experience at Covenant House or before, because it seems like you actually have a great amount of experience with young people. But can you give any specific examples of ways that chosen families have really stepped up and made a big difference in someone's life to make sure that they felt supported or that they were on a track that felt like appropriate for them to grow or things like that?
Yeah, I think mentorship is a really great example. We just celebrated the reopening of our Pride Center in the community. That's, I think, really important. And again, another great example of physical space and creating space for our LGBTQ plus community and our LGBTQ plus youth specifically, where there's access to safe spaces, mentorship, supportive spaces for our community. That's a great example of a way that a community can provide those resources and embrace our young people in a very tangible way. And I've seen that more recently and through partnership with places like Covenant House that serves, you know, a third of our youth, our residents are LGBTQ plus. So it's important that through partnerships, we're able to offer those services and provide those safe spaces.
Do you have any vision for what Covenant House would be, like how they would operate 10 years from now versus how they operate today? Or do you have like any specific goals for the organization? And that can be for either one of you.
I mean, we have a vision as a federation to end youth homelessness as we know it today. And we are doing that through providing interventions, preventing young people from entering into a system of addressing homelessness. So hopefully being able to make those interactions very brief or preventing them from happening at all. And then restoration is what we're calling our aftercare. So once those individuals have had an encounter or brief encounter with experiencing housing insecurity, that we're able to provide all those wraparound services that I talked about in an environment that will help keep them stably housed. So our vision at Covenant House New Orleans is that we can continue to do that through all of our resources and services and providing the safe housing with all of the wraparound support. We can continue to do that. So sustaining that, as well as just with our residents, finding new innovative ways to continue to meet their needs, right? Like, it's, again, what we're learning, it's not one size fits all. Our young people come with all different types of, not only traumas or experiences of trauma, but, you know, individual strengths. And we want to be able to tap into that. And they come with big ideas and broad dreams, goals, and aspirations. And so how can we support that? What are ways that we can continue to help them on their life trajectory, right? So it's not just having a house, it's owning a house. It's being able to find a job that turns into a career that creates an opportunity for them to pay it back. So how, you know, what's our role as their chosen family throughout their life's journey when they need us the most, and then when they need us less, but still need us and want us to be a part of their lives?
And I realized, Damien, before this, have you ever heard of the term chosen family? Is that like something that is like in your vocabulary? Yep. How would you define that?
I would define chosen family as someone who you're very close with and have more trust than you do on a normal friends and things like that. But they're not biologically or terms like that related.
I would say chosen family are people who you welcome into your life to be there to support you, to hold you accountable as well, to be there with you while you are on your life journey. And they're there for you as long as you need and want them to be.
Thank you so much once again for tuning in to Let's Talk. I want to give a special shout out to Dr. Chelsea Nelson at Covenant House New Orleans for helping make this episode happen. I'd also, of course, like to thank you both, Damien and Rainisha, for taking this opportunity to be vulnerable with us and share your stories. Please take a moment to check out the description for this episode to learn more about Covenant House, their incredible life-saving programs, and some of the cool events they host throughout the year. Until next time, I can't wait to learn something new with all of you.
Thank you.